Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's the opening theme for this show that just keeps picking up steam week in and week out. We don't take a break. It's the Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Martin Mancini in Los Angeles. My sidekick, the straw that serves a drink. When God created women, the world was complete. Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, we realize 30 goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Sports. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic, Danielle, the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And we're down to the Final Four Championship Sunday.
I'm doing good, Mark. I hope everybody's doing good out there. You can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. Slide into the DMs and tell me your picks and who's going to the Super Bowl. But we do have breaking news first before we get into the games and break it down. Came down 10 minutes ago. Jim Harbaugh is headed back to the NFL. The announcement will be coming probably tomorrow officially, but it's reported by Ian Rappaport, so it's not coming from Adam Schefter or ESPN, so we don't have to worry about it being false. It looks like the Los Angeles Chargers will be hiring him and, like I said, making the announcement probably officially tomorrow, you know, with the press conference and all the hoopla. But yes, Harbaugh is headed back. He will be coaching the Chargers, and he will be in charge of somehow fixing Justin Herbert's career at this point in time. But he was supposedly flirting with the Falcons, but it looks like he was kind of doing that just to make the Chargers move, because they were supposed to interview Vrabel and they had all these other names, but he really wanted to kind of head back to LA and stay there. So he is getting his wish, and the Chargers now have a new head coach who I think will do wonders for them. I think it's a great call. It's a perfect fit. Anybody who thought Belichick was heading there, that was never going to happen. I really don't know if Belichick is going to coach this season coming up. He may just be waiting because a lot of coaches will be on the hot seat coming up, and he can really take his pick next year if the Falcons don't work out, which I've heard that whole situation has cooled off. So we'll have to see what happens. But when you think about it, you know, this is a great move for the Chargers, but next year there's a lot of things coming up. You know, we all know Mike McCarthy. Yes, he's staying with the Cowboys, but he does not get an extension. So he's really playing on his last legs. Tomlin, he is playing on his last year of his contract. Robert Saleh, if he does not make something happen with Rodgers, he is out. Daboll, if he does not turn around the Giants, he is out. Belichick has stayed in close contact with the Mara family, and there has been rumblings that he could return to New York if Daboll does not turn things around. And with the whole mess with Martindale and the bad press that's been coming out, that's not totally out of the stratosphere at all. So, you know, Belichick may just kind of take his time and be like, hey, I can go wherever the heck I want to go. So, you know, I know everybody's like hot on the Falcons. You might want to wait and see on that. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I've had a chance to interview Jim Harbaugh just before he got married. I like this guy a lot. You know, I don't care wherever he goes, he leaves a legacy behind. Case in point, it's Stanford. He built the Cardinals up.
Yep.
And then he went to, you know, you saw what he did after he left Stanford. He went to the, San Francisco 49ers. He was 44-19 and won there. And, you know, it, kind of the same type of, you know, team. You know, coach of the year in his first season. He led the 49ers to the Super Bowl. I know they lost to the Ravens and his brother. But he left them. You know, with you know, this is a team he had taken over that was really struggling to find themselves.
Completely.
He rebuilt a team that tumbled from the NFL's elite. They missed the playoffs for 8 straight seasons. So now going into L.A., he's going to have a similar challenge with the Chargers. You know, this is another, you know, deciding thing, you know, how to build the roster out. But I will tell you, this guy's a defensive guru. The Big Ten, you know, with the Michigan, winning the championship,
yep.
nothing left to prove. He can always go back to Michigan with, you know, winning a title in, you know, so smart move on his part, take the Chargers thing. I didn't really think he was going to Atlanta, Danielle. I thought that was more of a, you know, you need a lot of pieces in Atlanta to get this thing to the Super Bowl, but I think the Chargers are there. If he can just get that defense in top notch, and it'll be interesting. The Ravens come into SoFi next year, so the brothers will bash again. This is going to be a good one, but keep your eyes on Harbaugh, man. He knows how to build defenses, and he plays that smash mouth, you know, run the ball down your throat style. So Chargers are going to be interesting next year.
Yeah, I think they'll finally start living up to the expectation, which, you know, every year we've kind of heard, check for the Chargers, and then it's like, wah, wah, nothing really happens. But I think they've got the pieces. I think he's the one to put it together. I just feel with Harbaugh, he's not somebody to stick around too long. He kind of gets you set up and leaves. And he did that with the 49ers. The 49ers, ever since he left, they still look good. They're all there. So I think he's somebody that just kind of kickstarts, gets everybody set, and then goes about his business and just hits the next challenge. He seems like a guy who just wants a challenge and then moves on. But I think it's a good move for the Chargers. I don't think the Falcons were there because – he doesn't want to sit and develop the quarterback. That's not his thing. You know, there's some coaches that they like to develop that quarterback. They like to get in there. He's kind of not one of them. He wants to put the team together, put the pieces there, and go on. So let's wait and see what happens with the Falcons. But, no, I don't think the Falcons were ever a good fit. So I think this is perfect for him, considering what he likes to do.
Well, and not only that, the Chargers, you know, they always sign players to record-breaking contracts. And you know, but they've always had a reputation for not paying coaches. So this is, you know, when you put these Spanoses to the test, they don't know where the narratives come from. But you can see, but now you know they have no limitation as far as spending. Whether it's, you know, players, now they're giving a coach what he wants, and pretty much giving him the rule of the organization to get it to the elite. And it's been a while since we've seen the Chargers. I can remember living in San Diego in 96. That was the last time the Chargers went to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you know, this is a team that's really, really trying to find themselves. They got clobbered by the 49ers. So that's a long time coming when you look at it. We're going on decades, you know, almost three decades where these guys haven't, you know, done anything as far as getting to the Super Bowl. So, let's see if he can turn him around. I think he is, and it's going to be interesting to see LA. Another big name. Yeah.
Yeah, let's see what happens. They, you know, it's funny because they fired Tom Telesco, and he wound up going to the team that kind of put the nail in his coffin. He went to the Raiders. They had his press conference today. I watched it. It was actually, I really like him and Antonio Pierce together, and I like Antonio Pierce as a head coach. I'm glad they finally made that decision, which to me was just a matter of time. And Pierce looks like he's ready to take it. So I think this is all going to be interesting with the Raiders, the Chargers. I think they've kind of got the right coaches, the right people in the place to do this. So we'll see what happens there. But in between that, we have major games going on this weekend. We've got the Ravens versus the Chiefs. So to my Ravens fan who is listening right there, my hat off to you. Yes, you were right. The Ravens are great. They won. They beat Houston. They actually clobbered Houston and just beat them. They actually showed C.J. Stroud's mom praying. Felt so bad for the woman praying in the stands for her son. So that goes to show you how bad the clobbering was. But yeah, the Ravens look hot. I mean, there's no way around it. They look completely balanced. They get Andrews back. He sat out this week or this last game. He's back. He's ready to rock and roll. So. I can't believe I'm saying this. Oh, my gosh. Michael Strahan somewhere is like, says there's a disturbance in the force. I'm rooting for the Ravens this weekend. Oh, but I hope that they beat the Chiefs. I think they will. If they can keep that high-powered dynamic offense going and keep their defense and keep the pressure on Mahomes, I think they've got it. They've also got to protect the middle to keep Kelce in his place. If they can do that, I think the Ravens got it this weekend. What do you think?
Well, I think the Ravens, you know, they've just steamrolled. I thought they'd steamroll Houston. They did. They took C.J. Stroud out of his comfort zone. That defense is relentless. I think they're going to be all over Kansas City. But I got a conspiracy theory here with the Chiefs. I think the NFL's in bed here with Taylor Swift and this whole Swiftie movement. And, you know, and it's just, you know, I'm going to call it like I see it. We called it yesterday in a show. You know, it just seems like it's too conspicuous what's going on around here. You know, the Chiefs now, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they're the team you got to watch out for, and the Kelsey thing, and I think they just want them in Vegas, Super Bowl glitz, the whole nine yards. They just don't want blue-collar teams like Detroit and Baltimore in there. And, you know, I don't care what anybody says. I just think they're trying to jack up these things and try to get the marquee game and get a San Francisco, Kansas City, and that's exactly what they want. You know, get one of the best, you know, elite teams in the 49ers, and the Chiefs have been to, you know, six AFC championship games. They're chasing down the Patriots. So, you know, you get a Mahomes and Purdy thing going. You get big offenses. You get stars in the stands. This is where I think it's going. I've always looked at it like this. You know, it could be Baltimore and San Francisco. So it could be one of those things like we've had before.
Rematch.
So, yeah, but I don't know. Something smells here. Something smells.
I get where you're coming from.
And I'm gonna throw it out there. I just think, you know, to me, I know you like her. I like her songs and everything. To me, it's just too much, you know, Taylor Swift and this Kelsey and the brother jumping into the things in Buffalo. I mean, come on, man. I mean, it's just like something in North Dallas 40.
Well, here's my thing. I like her music. I think she's fine. I feel bad in a sense because I do think maybe she's taking on hate that's not necessarily her fault.
Right.
But in one sense, they're both, you know, I spoke to my Ravens fan and he was like, well, look, he's like, I think it's contrived because they're both getting so much out of this. I mean, when you look at it all of a sudden, Kelsey's got so many sponsorships. I was commenting because when we were watching the game, every other commercial was him. And I'm like, I don't remember him getting this much sponsorship. So, you know, they're both getting a lot of play out of this. I mean, she's on every time the camera turned, it was to her. Like, every time the Chiefs did something, it was like, you know, she's up in the stands. And I get it. She has no control when they're going to show her. Like, that's, you know, she doesn't know. But at the same point, it's like it can't drive the NFL on you know, the ratings. And that's where I think everybody kind of gets annoyed because we're just trying to watch the game. And I give CBS credit. They did not dumb down the way NBC does. Yeah, I can't stand when Collinsworth and Tarika, when she's in the stands, decides to
play. Right.
Some of us are here to actually watch the game and understand it. We don't need, you know, stick figures to tell us how to throw a football. That drives me nuts. So that's where I think the hate is coming from, and then it's obviously directed toward the Chiefs. And when did Patrick Mahomes become such a crybaby this season with stuff?
Yeah.
Like, really. He needs to take down a notch. You got your rings, dude. Yes, we all know you're going to the Hall of Fame. You're one of the greatest, blah, blah, blah. Just play the game and shut up. So I think, you know, there's a lot of hate on the Chiefs right now, and some of it's well-deserved, some of it isn't. So I just feel like predicting the outcome of the game, if they win, there's going to be a theory. If they lose, there's going to be a theory. So it kind of takes the shine off the Ravens no matter what they do, and Lamar is having such an amazing season. It kind of sucks for him because he's playing, and it's like either way, he's kind of screwed. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I just want to see these teams go at it and get the best out of themselves and out of each other and have a great game instead of like, oh, is Swift there? Is she not? Like, I don't care. Just let's just go and see what happens. I think my biggest problem right now is Goodell saying the officiating's going great this season. And it's like I want to look at him and go, can you put your glasses on and whatever you're smoking, stop for a second? Stop defending your officiating because it's not. I agree with Blandino's. They should adopt the XFL policy of miking up and letting us, the fans, hear what the referees are discussing so we can understand some of these messed up plays and what these calls are. That, I think, would be great.
Right.
And maybe that would stop half these conspiracy theories. I'd like to know why that call is happening. And let's get rid of that touchdown. If you fumble in the end zone, it goes back. That thing's got to go. And then maybe we can move on. But I don't know. I thought Buffalo had him last week, and I don't know what happened in that game. And then we have on the other side, we, of course, we have San Francisco going against the Lions. And once again, I'm going to – I know this is probably not the popular opinion. I really want to see the Lions do it. I want Goff to have his moment. I know he's the poor man Ryan Gosling, but I want to see Goff do it.
Yeah.
I would really love to see it. I don't think the 49ers looked great last week. I thought the Packers were going to pull this out. They really had me going to the last little bit. I thought the Packers looked good, and I was like, wow, get the heck out of here. You and I are going to be eating our words if the Packers get this far. I thought they looked good. Purdy, at times, looked like a deer in headlights. I think the Lions might be able to pull this off. Might. I'm going to say might. I don't know if they did sign Zach Hurts.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't know if he's playing this weekend.
Here's what I like about Dan Campbell. When he first came, I thought, first of all, you can't stand on a podium after you drink a couple six-packs of Billy Beers and tell me what you're going to do to opposing teams and all this other stuff, break kneecaps and everything. I thought this was something, you know, the segue to a UFC fight or something. But more and more I listen to this guy. I'll tell you one thing, Danielle. I started to believe in this guy because, you know, consistency always makes people believe. I always use that philosophy. And the other thing is he's authentic. And, you know, when you start believing in your players and you keep telling them you believe in them, even though you struggle, even though you come up short, but you still believe in them, those guys know you got your back. And they'll run through a wall for you. I've always told you, you know, we've done shows, and you and I have created such a bond through the years. It's just it's amazing. And the reason why is it's always been staying consistent, staying true to each other, you know, letting everybody know what's going on, and not, you know, looking out and for themselves and pushing themselves more so than the others. You know, you get more out of life pushing other people besides yourself, and great things start to happen. And that's what's happening with the Lions. They're playing on house money, and they're doing wonders. And this is the thing, and the more and more you look at Campbell, the more and more you got to say to yourself, wow. Now, they might not win the Super Bowl, but what he's accomplished is get this team to win a division title, to get into the NFC Championship. We haven't seen this since 91, 93. They've never been to a Super Bowl. If he gets them to a Super Bowl, he can probably run for president. I mean, so this is going to get interesting. Now, you know, it sets up a couple scenarios here. If Detroit gets to the Super Bowl, you know, they'll play either Kansas City or Baltimore. Now, you know, they beat Kansas City in the first week, and they got their asses handed to them in Baltimore, you know, in the down the line there. So it should be interesting to see where the Lions stack up. So that'll be the interesting thing if they can. But I don't think they're going to get there because, you know, we've seen this thing time and time again. Let's get the big teams in there. Let's have the big party atmosphere. Got to have a San Francisco-Kansas City or a San Francisco-Baltimore. And I think Baltimore is almost like Detroit in some ways. That defense I haven't seen since 2000, better than the Super Bowl team. And the other thing, Lamar Jackson's betting on himself. He's playing lights out. And he's the MVP. To me, he's the MVP, hands down. I don't care what anybody says. This guy believes in himself, bet on himself, and to me, he's the MVP. I don't know what you take on it. I think San Francisco more or less pulls it out, luckily, but I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit wins this game.
I agree with you on Lamar. I think he's the MVP. He's there to prove he deserved that money. His holdout, everything that happened in the offseason was 100% worth it. That's what he's trying to do, and he's trying to prove to Baltimore and his teammates that, look, whatever shenanigans went on, I was 100% justified. So I appreciate that. He believes in himself. He's there to just play. I like him. I think he's dynamic. He's also gotten smarter. His first, second looks have gotten much better. He's not reading so much with his eyes. He's not giving it away. I like him. I think he deserves the MVP. I'm on board with that. I want to see, like I said, I want to see the Lions go. Now, the thing with the 49ers is they tend to bounce back in a close game. So what they did with the Packers last week, they could use totally as fuel to go after the Lions. The Lions' problem, and I know Dan Campbell says, I'm willing to give up something to get another thing. You know, he's willing to give up those yards on the rush and on the run in order to get something else, in order to make you throw an interception, to make the quarterback think that they're safe and then get the interception. I get all that, and that's great. I'm not sure you can do that with the 49ers, and you can't go and give up rushing yards with CMC and think, that's okay because I'll get it over here. Once you let him go, that's done. It's a score. You can't do that. I don't know what his plan is to stop Christian McCaffrey. You know, you got to play this different. Now, is Deebo Samuel going to be in with the shoulder and with the AC joint? That part, you know, if he's not in, it gives you a little something. They're really going to have to look at what are you doing, because the Bucs were very, very open in the middle. Can you say that for the 49ers? I mean, also with the Lions, they were just surgical down the field. And they were able, St. Ra, he was able to, you know, just kind of get him down, and he was able to finish off the edge really nice. Are you going to be able to do that with the 49ers? I don't know. We know what happens with Goff when he gets just the right pressure. He tends to panic a little bit. So these are things that the Bucs were not able to do. Well, you know, that pass rush on the 49ers, certainly not the Bucs. So I think the plan has to change, and I think the Lions got a lot of soft teams leading up. 49ers are not a soft team. So this is either going to be a very, very close game, or it's going to be a blowout because of how the Lions can be. 100% sure, I want to see it happen. I'm pushing for the Lions, but they got to get out in front quick. They can't go three and out the first three times. If they do that and they let the 49ers start to get that ball rolling and get that confidence, it's going to be a lights-out situation.
Right, right. No, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, that's going to be the thing. So I think what we have is here, we have a setup of San Francisco, in my mind, against Baltimore. I don't think anybody's stopping Baltimore. I mean, San Francisco can make the adjustments. We're going to get into the Super Bowl next week. But I still think Baltimore is just too strong. Nobody's been able to tame them except Pittsburgh two times this year. It's all Baltimore. In my mind, I've been saying that since week four. And I know you're going to have yourself a prediction on that, too. There's talk in Philadelphia with Sirianni trying to reestablish himself after that collapse of the Eagles. Any thought on that one?
Yeah, I've been getting some whispers on that. You know, he's cleaning house with coordinators. He's even made a call to Wink Martindale. But from what I've heard, and you know, he was thinking of bringing Wink Martindale, the old DC of the Giants, in. But there is more of an inkling that Vic Fangio is going to probably go in after the Dolphins letting him go, because there's some people from his tree in there already. So I believe they're going to bring him in for an interview. And he's, you know, Sirianni's doing what he can because he's on the hot seat as well with this last season. And if he doesn't make something happen, I don't think Sirianni's going to be around next year, you know, the year after next. He's got to do something, but he wants to kind of try to inject some new life and look at things a little differently. I still think the problem with what happened last year in Philly is there is a matter of, you and I have discussed this, getting hot too quick and burning out. You know, you burn bright and then you burn out. I think we had it, and that's also what happens with Dallas. You can't sit here and after week three decide you're going to the Super Bowl. It doesn't work that way. The Packers are a great example. The Packers lost a lot of games in the beginning, but then they started clicking and they figured it out. You can't, you know, decree you're going to the Super Bowl because you blew the Giants out in week one. Okay. Great. You blew out a team in week one. That's great. But, you know, they already had their bags packed for Vegas, you know, the Cowboys, and were on their way. Same thing with Philly. Philly was doing really well, and they were just like, well, we're going back. It was like it was a done deal in their eyes, instead of realizing there's injuries. People get tired. you're playing too hard too quick. And I think that was more of an issue than, yes, there was some coaching. Matt Patricia, once again, I'll say this again. Just because you come from Bill Belichick does not mean you're Belichick. They have to figure this out with Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, with McDaniels. Enough already. I get that he's the emperor and it's, the dark side of the force. They're not Darth Vader. It's not working, guys. Enough. Figure this out.
Right. No, I truly agree with you on that one. Yeah. As we start to wind this thing down, yeah. Any surprises what's going on with Miami? Atlanta needs a coach. I mean, Carolina's going to hire within. We got, New England, which I can't figure out why, it's mind-boggling their head coaching position, what they went instead of going against Vrabel or somebody. It doesn't make sense to me. But
heading here, I believe, tomorrow. In the next couple of days, he's heading here to interview. The problem with the Panthers is really upper management and its ownership. That's the problem here. And, it's kind of a well-known, horribly kept secret. Tepes is just not getting things right. I don't know if Vrabel's the right fit here, more because, like I said, it's ownership. I'd like to see him go somewhere where he can really do what needs to be done. And I don't know if here's the right fit, but I think he's a great coach. I'm not sure where he'll go. Like I said, Belichick, everybody's got to bet on the Falcons. I don't know what's going to happen with that. They've brought in 12 candidates, and they're really waiting on the Lions, Ben Johnson. And everybody's, hot on him. I'm not sure what's going to happen with it. So I think I'm surprised the Commanders haven't interviewed Vrabel, because that seems like a better fit, to be honest. But, and they haven't given – I think Bieniemy just interviewed, which, to me, that would be the choice as well. Go with Bieniemy. He's there. He's already familiar. The players are familiar. They like him. He could do a lot more there. Get him the right quarterback and see what happens. But I'm very confused by this whole coaching carousel. The Seahawks still have to figure out what they're doing. I don't know. It's, for all the candidates that are there with such high pedigrees, you have to then start questioning, and Pete Carroll said it. He said there's guys that don't know the game, that have never played, that are making these decisions. At some point, a football mind has to take over and start making these decisions. Because if you've never played the game and you don't understand the game, you're just thinking from a business perspective, and it's both. It's business and the game. The two have to meet in the middle.
Right. Should be interesting when you break this thing down. I mean, where this thing is going to go when we get closer and closer. But as we start to wrap this thing up, boy, 30 minutes goes by quick, love. Let everybody know what you're doing. I know we got a show coming up at the top of the hour with you and Chelsea. And let everybody know any more traveling for you. And can't wait to talk to you next week, same time, same station.
At 8 o'clock, we'll be doing a novel beginning. This chapter is called Mean Girls, and it discusses the mean girls of publishing, which we'll be getting into a little bit more. Perfect timing with the movie. And that's at 8 p.m. tonight. And everybody can get me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. Next travel will be in March at GalaxyCon Richmond. So everybody can come out and see me there. And check out galaxycon.com for information on the Richmond event and all of their live events.
Yeah. And as we wind this thing down, you can catch me all over the place, XM Sirius, also Philadelphia WWDB, and across the airways here on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. For the lovely Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Thanks for making us what we are today, the show that keeps sweeping the country and the bar that says it is. Till next week, have a blessed one, stay safe, and we'll be at the Super Bowl breaking it down next year, but the Super Bowl participants we'll be talking about next week. I think it's going to be San Francisco and Baltimore. We'll see if I'm right. Till then, thank you very much for everything.